Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on November 8th, 2018.
That's right.
Beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
Yeah?
No doubt.
Look out our window and what do we see? The San Gabriel Mountains in the distance? There's a little layer of something that is preventing clarity there, but Notre Dame is quite visible.
That's right. Beautiful as always. Beautiful as always. And there are some incredibly exciting theater shows coming to the Southland for this holiday season as it approaches, aren't there, Michael?
Yes, there are, Andrew. And we have the privilege today of speaking with two of the brilliant co-stars of the Actors Co-op production of She Loves Me on stage through December 16th. Please welcome our two talented guests, Claire Adams and Kevin Shuey.
Shuey, close
Shuey. Enough. Shuey. I practiced that all morning.
Great to see you both. Claire, of course, a dear friend of the show, and Kevin, first time being here. How are you guys?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Good to see you both. Thanks for being
here. Good to be here.
Well, we'll obviously talk more with them in just a moment, but before we do, Michael, we should thank our sponsors.
Yes, we should. We would like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
And now you can experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win. And by saying that, I mean you have to listen to LA Talk Radio Network and to our show in particular. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're the only one that actually have this opportunity for
That's
you.
That's right.
And you find our State of the Arts archive page, and you will see a beautiful logo from Princess Cruises. You click on that. It takes you about 30 seconds to register, and you're in. You can register as many times as you like to do. And it is a $5,000 gift.
Such a deal. Such a deal. Yeah. Obviously, we encourage you to enter as many times as you can because you're allowed to enter more than once, which is a cool thing. We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
There you are indeed.
And Michael, of course, as always, we want to thank C.A. Francis Photography. You can check her out at C.A. Francis Photo. That's C.A.F.R.A.N.C.E.S. Photo, P.H.O.T.O., as I forget how to spell photo. I was going very modern.
Yeah.
Very modern. That's how the kids spell it. That's how the kids do it. C.A.FrancisPhoto.com. You're going to find truly some of the best photography in Los Angeles. Great rates for headshots, great band photography. If you're looking to shoot a show, in fact, she shot the Levi Strauss. She shot down by the seashore. That's right. The Levi Strauss musical, didn't she?
Yes, she
yeah.
did.
In
yes,
fact,
she
lots
did.
Of good stuff. Did she?
Strauss?
As we lisp our way through the opening of the show, ladies and gentlemen, my high school fears are coming right back at me.
Oh, my goodness.
So, obviously, lots of good stuff going on and some challenging things as well here in the Southland today. Obviously, we have so many great resources here in Southern California. The arts are such a wonderful thing, such a healing thing, such a great thing that we can be on here and promote some of those great people.
You're right. And I haven't seen you for a week, but I do want to acknowledge what's happened in Thousand Oaks because it's just devastating. And I think that we have so much to thank the Los Angeles police force.
That's right.
For being there and so on top of it, and certainly the officer that gave his life for two people. people.
And I'm obviously here with a heavy heart today. My friend lost his daughter in that, and I wanted to be sure. Yeah, it was. I mean, as a father, I mean, that meant a lot to me years ago. But as a father of a daughter, I can't imagine sending your child off to school and thinking they're safe and thinking that they're going to be okay and them doing nothing wrong and you losing them. He's a strong man, a soccer coach, a good person, and I know he'll get through it okay. But I honestly, I cannot imagine that kind of devastation. So
I think there's one father out there that's similar to your thoughts, but his son is missing. At least he was earlier this morning. I don't know whether they have found him in the hospital or not, which is where the dad was camping out. So
yeah, borderline had that complex there had been where we rehearsed Dark Heart of Poe a few years ago. It's a family complex, lots of good things going on there.
Wow.
So that, I think that speaks to the fact that in this country we need to do something.
Yes, we do.
And I think more than anything else, before we stretch into anything else, it needs to be said that we need to take care of people who are hurting, people who are volatile, people who are missing something. And certainly our ex-servicemen, like the perpetrator of this was, who obviously had something mentally that wasn't right. If you are a veteran out there, we've had James on the show, other people on the show who have talked about going out there and coming out of the military and needing help. One of the places he gave for help is the Veterans Crisis Line. The Veterans Crisis Line is a free confidential resource that you can go to if you need help. Easiest way to reach them is 1-800-273-8255. You just press 1 and you're going to get to somebody who you can talk to. If you'd like to donate blood up in Thousand Oaks, which I know that they would love, I also saw that the line was around the corner
today. Yeah, Lorena actually just closed.
That's right.
Yeah, they just opened. I'm from Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
Oak Park, which is right next
right.
to me. But Lorena just closed because they're at capacity. But the, is it a Best Western at, right off of the 101, mm-hmm. they just opened a brand new one. So that's open.
Great.
I can get the name for it.
Also,
for
you can call 1-800-985-5990, and there's going to be immediately crisis counseling. They can also mm-hmm. tell people who are looking to help, who feel like, I want to do something positive. They can tell them some of those resources in Thousand Oaks there. Also, the Red Cross, of course, 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767. And, of course, our prayers and our thoughts, and more than anything, our hope for a better future, and that we can take care of each other more effectively going forward.
I hope Washington, D.C. is listening to this crisis out here.
Yeah, and more than anything, on a personal level, every person you meet out there is somebody you can help. So if you're focused on, instead of accomplishing a goal that's a different goal, if you're focused on just making every life you touch a little bit better, I know there were people last night who broke windows to help get people out, and I know there were officers who had families and ran in. Obviously, in crisis, good things come, but our hopes and our prayers go out to the people who are hurting from that. But, Michael, we said, there are good things going on in Southern California, too, right? And we live in one of the best places to live in the Southland. Obviously, we are going to exemplify that today with two of the finest, hottest young talents operating here in the Southland. There's no doubt you've seen this show we're going to talk about today.
Very lovely, lovely evening on Saturday.
I want to hear about your week. Could you tell me a little more about this show and what else you did?
What else I did were things that were unrelated to the arts, I shouldn't say that really. But
nothing you do is unrelated. You are the arts, Michael.
Claire, our guest, one of our guests, is headlining for us at Sterling's Upstairs on November 25th.
Yeah.
And we're so excited to have her.
I'm so excited.
How long has it taken me to get you there?
I give a couple years.
Yeah.
A couple years. But, you know, had to make it happen for myself. So,
you were the first person. Evening with Claire Adams, directed by Richard Israel, mm-hmm. and musically directed by Anthony.
Do you say Luca?
Luca, mm-hmm. yes. And who is also the musical director for the show that mm-hmm. our guests are in, She Loves Me. Beautiful show. Very beautiful show. Have you ever seen it?
I have. In fact, I did it at my college, and I remember that was my first exposure to it. I really enjoyed it. It's interesting, too, because it's not at all my kind of musical theater, and yet it's such a compelling story, such a fun story. So you kind of fall in love with it.
And one that has been, you know, the impetus for so many films.
That's right, yeah.
And, Shop Around the Corner, I think, was the original
Absolutely.
Film, right?
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Stewart
and mm-hmm.
Judy Garland.
Was it June Allison who played his – who was opposite Jimmy Stewart in the film?
I can't remember.
I just always guessed June Allison because she was in everything with Jimmy Stewart.
I know, right. And then Judy Garland was in the one in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Not Shop Around the Corner. Wow, brain not working.
Right? Okay. Somebody's been in rehearsal all week. Yeah. But honestly, I mean, this has been, and this is the one where they wrote Dear Friend, Dear Friend, Dear Friend. Right. And it's, that's such
Tom
a great
Hanks
concept. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
Meg Ryan,
mail.
You've Got Mail, classic. Of course. Yeah. But I think that Dear Friend is such a, it's not at all antiquated, even today with emails and stuff. It's such a fond opening. I like that, yeah. Very cool.
So you must get to over there to see it before it closes.
I have to. I'm very excited to see that. Not only that, but, I mean, these two, we know Claire well, and we know that she's obviously a great performer, but what a cool energy you guys have. What's it been like working in the show so far? Kevin laughs.
Claire and I got to work at the co-op in the spring with Richard Israel, actually, on Violet. And I had such a great experience with that I jumped at the chance to work with Claire again.
Cool.
There's a lot of great people there at the co-op. A lot of good people in the room that I've just, you know, it's been a wonderful group of people to work with, and really, really great.
Well, the Actors Co-op is truly one of the best groups working around there, and we're obviously going to give the information out for the show here in a little bit, but the show is She Loves Me. It's a great piece, and not only that, but the talent that they have in the show is extraordinary, so we're anxious to talk about that. Michael, anything else this week? I know you're setting up for Sterling's Upstairs.
Tonight, I'm going to the opening of Bronx Tale.
Cool. Obviously.
Reviewing that. And I'm looking forward to that.
So if you have a chance, jump on and look at the Pantages Instagram account. You'll see some fun things they're doing with some of the characters there, the actors in the show. Pantages always does such a good job, don't they, Michael?
Always. You can count on that. And then after that, it'll be Come From Away at the Robinson Theater.
Wow. Yeah, you are out and about. And when does Claire's show go up at the Sterling's?
On the 25th of November.
25th.
Yeah. Sunday the 25th.
Yeah, so when you're so tired of the turkey and that whole thing.
Exactly. Then
and you want to get out.
Get out and have some wine. And
that's right.
And some fun.
That's right. Get that's down to the Federal. Get yourself
show.
A Bloody Mary and calm
yes,
down from the Thanksgiving
exactly.
crazy. That's right.
Bring your family.
Well, you've heard her beautiful voice, ladies and gentlemen. An actress and a singer from Los Angeles, our first guest is a graduate of USC and a proud member of the Actors Co-op in Hollywood.
Some film credits, is that correct?
Correct.
And some film credits include leading roles in Pivotal, Here Be Monsters, Slice the Musical, and Skinny Fat Girl, and a supporting role in All I Wish.
Some of her theatrical credits include roles in Violet, Fun Home, Incognito, The Last 5 Years, Assassins, Lucky Stiff, and A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, along with Hairspray, Oklahoma, Merrily We Roll Along, and Mudhouse the Musical.
She was a finalist in LA's Next Great Stage Star, and she's here today to tell us about her current role as Amalia, Balish, in the Actors Co-op production of She Loves Me. Give a hand to the very, very talented and very beautiful Claire Adams.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, they love you.
Raucous applause.
They love you. I told you not to bring all your fans with you. Unbelievable. I gotta tell you, this is such a pleasure to have you back here again, because after you left when you were here to promote Mudhouse last time, everybody kept coming in, all our other guests going, hey, have you seen Mudhouse yet? It's getting such great reviews. All this. So, yes, so you were talked about
after you left. Mudhouse was one of the most fun experiences I have ever had. That group of people, let me tell you. Well, it was so crazy. I actually was in New York at the beginning of this month, and 6 of the 10 of us were all in New York at the same time.
Wow.
And so, because 2 of the people from that show booked Broadway contracts while we were doing Mudhouse.
Wow.
And they shared a dressing room in Mudhouse, and they share a wall now in New York.
Wow.
Ryan McCartan is in Wicked, and Boyzie Holmes has been in Once on This Island and will be returning in the new year. So, I got to see friends perform on Broadway and got to see that it was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful group of people, and so fun to pretend to be dogs.
you. While you were in New York, did you have a chance to audition for anything?
I did. I had a couple of auditions while I was there, which was great, laying some groundwork. And
nice.
That's as far as I'll go on that.
Okay.
Laying some groundwork and meeting
as well. You should
with some people there.
Good.
Which was great. Yeah, it was great. It was a wonderful trip.
Somewhere in New York, there's a marquee with your name on it.
You know,
just wait.
There
for
is.
Your name.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Michael Sterling.
Yeah.
So, is that Marquise Sterling's upstairs at the Federal? Because we're going to see her there on the 25th. No, I'm ready.
There's a done deal, but I mean, I'm New York, talking California. About New York.
Yeah. See, I'll be honest. She works so much here, she may never have the chance to leave again. She's going to be like, I'm sorry, I'm in like shows through 2042. You know, it's unbelievable.
No, this year's been, it's been nuts. I've never had a year like this
and
ever.
Some of that, if I'm not mistaken, started from Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, the stage star performance, which I guess wasn't at Sterling's that year, was it?
It was.
Yeah. So, Stage Star, LA's Next Great Stage Star, was one of your early California jump into the musical theater kind of things.
Yeah, I was in college at the time, and I had some friends who were the year above me at USC who suggested going in for it, and so I did that, and that's how I met my wonderful agent Steven, and now here we are. So it feels very fitting to be back at the Federal for my first my very first cabaret. I've never done that before.
Returning to the stage. Returning to the stage. That's right.
Exactly.
You know, do you think you're going to be nervous because it is your own show?
She's like, well, I wasn't until you said that, Michael. Golly gee.
You know, it's funny. I don't know. The whole thing has happened so quickly that I really haven't had time to think about it or get nervous about it, because I'm still in the process of writing, and it's outlined, and I have a song list. I have a music rehearsal later today. So that's good. That's step one. And then it's just, it's so personal that it kind of feels like it's going to be like talking to a group of friends, because it will be.
That's right.
So.
Well, I also, you know, many Broadway performers who have come through the club, and even the notable ones, I mean, people who have won Tony Awards and whatnot, when they decide to do something like this, they count it in as important as anything else they've ever done on the stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just said something, because it is very personal.
Yeah.
And it is you putting yourself out there in a different kind of a way for people to actually get to know you a little bit better.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
All other sides of your personality come out.
And
I've had people who have been on Broadway for years are pacing in the backstage area. Like going,
how funny.
Did I get myself in here? Until they open their mouth in the opening number. 30 seconds later, it was over.
And they're totally fine. Yeah.
Well, from LA's Next Great Stage Star, you went on a number of great shows after that, and you are now in She Loves Me with the Actors Co-op. And it's just Actors Co-op, right? Not the Actors Co-op.
Yeah, it's referred to both ways, but the official title is Actors Co-op.
The reason I say that is I believe their website is www.actorscoop.org, and there's a hyphen in between co-op, of course. So people can check out tickets there. This piece is great. It's up November 2nd, and it runs all the way through December 16th, right?
Yeah.
Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., that's right. Currently running now, you can get down there and see it. Sundays 2:30, special matinee on November 10th and the 17th at 2:30 p.m. And you know, Thanksgiving weekend is right in the middle of that. So if you want to get out of the house, if you want to stop smelling turkey for a couple minutes, you can go see a great piece of musical theater. And again, if you haven't been down to the Actors Co-op space, it's on North Gower, 1760 North Gower, on the campus of First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood.
And you know, they could not have a nicer staff of people.
It's true. Very true.
All
good
of them
people.
Are so kind and so helpful. And it's a cool, it's connected to a beautiful church. Yeah. I do want to ask a question about the group, though. Do you have to be a member of the church to be in this group?
No. It started out 25 years ago that way, and that's not true anymore.
The correct answer was no, but if you don't, you don't stand a prayer.
Yeah.
I don't know how we missed that joke. I'm going to need to rewind every time. Give me the setup again. I'm ready.
So no, not everybody in the membership goes to the church there. But everybody does go to church somewhere here in
around
LA.
So you have to be a Christian.
Yeah.
That is a prerequisite.
Requirement to be a part of the company. We have a lot of guest artists. I mean, there's a lot of guest artists in this show. There's a cast of... What's our cast? And there's only...
And
I think there's only four members in the show. So, you know, we work with guest artists all the time, but to be a member...
There are like six members in the show. It's half and half.
Half and half-ish.
I should probably know those numbers, but I don't. I know everybody by name.
Exactly.
That's more important, right?
Well, more importantly, I think it's interesting when you look at kind of how Actors Co-op does what they do. They always pick fun shows that have an interesting kind of history to them and great, great performances, not only by the cast, but the crew and all the set design and the costume design, always top notch. What's it been like to work with them, Claire, and how did you first get involved with them?
I actually got involved with the co-op through Selah Victor, who is one of my my very good friends, and who was a member. We did Assassins together. That was the second ever professional show that I did. Mm-hmm. And we got chatting, and she said, "Oh my gosh, you have to come and audition." And I did, and now we are 3.5 years later, and
Wow. There
you go.
You know, I want to get your opinion about working with the wonderful Kate Kaplan.
Yes. Oh, Kate is the sweetest human being on the face of the planet, and will lay down her life for what she's working on. Like, we had the most insane conflict schedule for this show, and she was just a champion of managing to figure out when she could come in. I was in San Diego doing Fun Home when rehearsals started, and so I came up on my Mondays off, and she came in on her Mondays off, and we worked together. I mean, she just truly has such a poise and vision for what she wants things to look like and feel like. And so,
one of the most interesting things that she did, Andrew.
I'm listening and enjoying what you're saying. Thank you. Are you my teacher? Felt like I was in the back of the class getting scolded for a minute, which wouldn't be the first time Michael slapped me with a ruler either. Just upside the head, okay? Not like that. Not in a nice way, in a dangerous way.
Claire.
She went to that quickly. Yeah, yes. I know. Good grief. Oh, personal life.
In this lovely show is a scene in a nightclub, in a very dark nightclub where people are meeting each other. And I thought it was such an interesting choice for Kate to make. And that choice is representing various types of people. And their sexual preferences.
Interesting.
Which went unsaid, of course, but it wasn't in an offensive way. It was a very entertaining way. But to have the wherewithal of doing that in this particular kind of a show, the audience was just loving every second.
Wow, how great.
So I think that was a pretty cool thing. I had fun watching that particular scene.
And she's such a talent, too. I mean, she can deliver anything and really, I mean, show an amazing range and make anything meaningful, yeah?
Who are we
Kate.
Kate is the director.
Everything she's done, though, she's always done very quality work and always taken a new take.
Her resume is like, from the Kennedy Center to the Hollywood Bowl. It's just.
Did she not act? Was she never on stage?
She might have been.
I think. I can't remember who we have, but
she's
I think someone worked
quite a bit
with
of dance, dancing. Yeah. I know that's she's done was, a short, right? brilliant this dancer.
She was a dance captain
beautiful
as well, wasn't
dancer.
For years. That's right.
Yes.
But it's interesting, too, because I always think that the way, the kind of take that each show has is what defines how it means to the audience, you know, what the audience is looking at.
Yeah.
If they truly feel like the show has been currently directed toward them, as opposed to just doing what's been successful on Broadway for years and years and years, always takes on such a different feel, you know?
Well, we talked about that when we were starting, Kevin and I talked about that when we were starting the process, because this idea of letters and having to wait and writing these letters back and forth and having to wait a couple of days for a response and all of that
isn't that weird?
Still
that's
relevant with texting.
That's so true.
We were talking about how
and reading them again,
but
again.
It never
and
was.
And parsing out what do they mean and what is it and what's happening.
Why did they put the period here?
Back?
That's so
exactly.
right.
And so it actually feels very modern in that way.
That's right.
It's strangely modern.
It didn't start that way with texting. Texting felt so immediate at the time, and then all of a sudden, texting became like letters. And it just changed drastically.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny when you think about it.
Yeah.
And do you think that people, if you don't respond to their text right away, that they are insulted or something?
Well, it certainly gives pause. I mean, everybody's going, why didn't they respond? Is it because they're busy, or is it because I said that thing at that party the other day that really upset them? You know?
The worst is when you see those three little dots that they're responding and
that's
they don't
so
respond.
True.
And you're like,
what
is happening?
Yeah.
I know you looked at it and you started to respond.
That's right.
The worst.
Well, you know, I'm waiting for Apple, if you're listening. I'm waiting for the function where you can mark a text as unread, because that happens to me all the time, where I'll inconveniently read a text that I can't respond to at the moment, and then I forget.
Read receipts.
Oh, look at that.
You can turn that off.
No, I don't have read receipts. I'm not a crazy person. Oh, my gosh. No, that would be horrible. But no, I just to be able to go back and see. Because then I forget to respond.
See,
you know what I mean?
I see where
I'm saying that I just forget. I don't intentionally not text people
right,
like, Kevin,
So I've just finished tagging all this, and I have put multiple times, She Loves Me, She Loves Me, the musical. Because every time I put She Loves Me, I just felt very myopic in my own personal life. And it's like, it was like I was looking for affirmation. She loves me. She loves me.
Be where you're at.
That's right. But if you want to check out these two people's faces, you can zip onto Instagram and find them there and certainly find out more about this show. Again, the name of the show is She Loves Me, and it's currently running through December 16th, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. That's Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2:30, special matinee November 10th and 17th at 2:30. They're dark Thanksgiving weekend, obviously, but you can get out there right after that and go see a show again and enjoy some really, really amazing theater with the Actors Co-op.
Well said, Andrew.
Thank you.
So back to your show and that particular scene. I just thought it was great, and it kind of lifted me up because, you know, I've seen the show many times.
Yeah.
And you see, you never see it done quite the same. But
correct.
But that was taking it to another place.
And that's such fun choreo. We have the challenge of working with a pretty small space,
right. Yeah.
And there's no fly space, there's no wing space, there's just, you know, you're just, it's 99 seat theater, and so to be able to create something as big and bold as Kate has with that number, because she's director and choreographer,
right.
To be able to create that, I think, is so special. And where it doesn't slap you over the head with it, it's just just enough to lift you.
She did all her own choreography for this?
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, that's a lot of work for this show. My goodness.
You know, you were just speaking about Apple and the texting thing. Did you see James Corden the other night when Barbara Streisand was his cast?
Oh, I did.
Oh,
I missed it.
My God.
Oh, you have to watch it.
Okay. It is so amazing. They're in the car.
Babs.
Singing. The two of them.
That's amazing.
In Beverly Hills.
Right, right. It's carpool karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she actually, what you said about Apple, and she called, what's his name that owns Apple?
Is it Tim Cook? Was that who she?
Now, yeah.
I thought she said somebody else.
President.
Whoever. She called the head of Apple and asked, and she was bothered by the fact that Siri could not say her last name.
So funny.
That was so
good. She called the head of Apple, and he actually had it changed.
That's amazing.
So good.
Way to get things done, though,
yeah,
you know.
Only somebody like that would have the balls to call somebody.
That's right.
And ask, and for them to be respectful enough to do it.
Barbara and Patty.
Yeah, right.
Patty would do it.
So funny.
Are we talking about LaPone?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those two girls get together, it would be wild. So, here we are. Are we going to do a live arts calendar?
Let's go ahead and do it. We got a good one today. Ruskin Group Theater presents Paradise, a bluegrass musical comedy with live band on stage, created by the brilliant and hilarious National Lampoon's writers.
When a southern coal mining town goes from boom to bust, a charismatic preacher arrives to offer salvation through a network reality TV producer.
That's right. Don't miss the show that Broadway World calls a show destined to take the country by storm and highly entertaining. Splash Magazine says this is a not-to-miss musical, charming, funny, and very much up-to-date. Never a dull moment in paradise. Music lovers, this show is made for you.
Paradise, a divine bluegrass musical comedy, runs Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., through November 17th at Ruskin Group Theater. For tickets or more information, visit ruskingrouptheater.com or call 310-397-3244.
That's right. And obviously, not only that show, but many, many others are at performingartslive.com. You can zip down there and find some amazing listings in your area. Zip off and get yourself up out of your chair, off the couch, get the phone down, go see some musical theater. Make your life a little bit easier, a little more relaxed, and a little bit more fun by watching live performance.
Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is very happy to be back in California after a stint in New York City, where he performed off-Broadway in New York Classic Theater Company's production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and with the TheaterWorks USA tour of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
He holds an MFA from UC Irvine and a BA from Azusa Pacific. Some regional credits include Henry V and Our Town with Chautauqua Theater Company. The Odd Couple, and Present Laughter with Summer Repertory Theater.
He has also appeared in Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol. I assume that's not written by Jacob Marley.
No.
Right, okay, good, good, good. Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol with Sierra Repertory Theater and with Actors Co-op in The 39 Steps, and A Man for All Seasons.
He's joining us here today to talk about his third appearance on the Co-op stage as George in She Loves Me. Please welcome, once again, Kevin Shuey.
Thank you.
I feel it's important for people to note that those are not the same fans that Claire had.
No.
Totally different fans. Our audience is strictly divided between the two of you today.
Yeah. We bust them in.
Yeah, thank you.
I think those
that's
were
where we cleared hers
the
out.
Then brought yours in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right. But it's interesting, too, to see you two sitting here because you guys kind of feel like the characters, and I like that. And I think, obviously, what you were talking about with Kate and with just the general way of you doing this show, it's been seen so many times. And if you haven't seen She Loves Me, this is a great time to go see it because it really does have that feel of early musical theater, that fun sort of classic romance where you leave the theater just feeling good, which is such a nice thing to have.
You know right now, you know?
And you just said something about them as performers, and I say this, I'm going to tell you something that I saw this show at it was the opening show for the Wallace Annenberg Theater.
Wow, great space.
A beautiful space.
Mm-hmm.
The set, when you walked in, the set was extraordinary. Mm. I mean, you know, they have the money to do this.
Sure.
And the theater seats about, I think it's 500.
That's beautiful.
And what they did, whoever the artistic director was, who I would say their name, but I will protect them. they chose television actors to be the stars. And in every role, because they felt that that would connect the audience, because they've seen them on television, and that they would come to the play. And in fact, it made it worse because they didn't know the maneuvers of performing on a stage. And
this is a musical you need that for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very
so
true.
They were screaming their lines. They were all the beats were gone. The sensitivity of the show was not there. The star of the show was the set.
Interesting.
And I'm serious. It was
they always do beautiful sets.
Spectacular set. But to leave, you know, just to present yourself in Beverly Hills after 10 years of trying to get funding to get this together and then choose, the production was fine, but then to cast it that way and suffer the consequences of bad reviews is not a way to start off.
You know, I was recently directing a piece called 3-2-1, which is a piece that I directed one unit for. And as we were there and I was walking through it and the people who were the actors who had been cast, they didn't have the same style. One was very theatrical, one was very natural. And it was interesting to watch and see how getting those two to combine was more important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when you approach a role, obviously film, television, anything, or if it's on the stage, do you consciously think about that, or is it just an instinctual thing where you're like, okay, I need to perform this way versus this way?
Well, yeah, that's interesting. And Claire and I talked a lot about sort of the style of the show and where it lives. And all of my background is like Shakespeare and language comedy, which gets me in trouble sometimes coming after stuff like this. But I think when something is written well, there's obviously something very technical happening in Shakespeare, for example, of like there's a meter there and there's some rhetorical things going on, and you need to connect that idea to that idea. And all those are very technical things that you have to do as a performer. But if you settle in and you're able to handle those things, if the writing is good, mm-hmm. like something like Shakespeare or something like She Loves Me, the writer has done a lot of that work for you of like, cool, I'm doing the technical thing. Now I can just sit in here and be a person. Like these people talk this way.
Yeah.
And if you can connect that to that, those deep needs that we're all on stage, that we hope we're watching when we come see a play, you know, I think the style question sort of answers itself. It's like, do the technical things and then show up on stage and
it's there.
And want the thing, you know?
Like, that's true.
I want to be in love.
Find your intention.
Yeah. And if you can, I say that like it's easy.
A lot of training goes into that.
Exactly. But I think, doing your homework when you're at home with your script and then just showing up on the day and really being present and wanting the thing.
Yeah.
The style, I think, takes care of itself most of the time.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I think that's a good way of putting that. Too.
In real life, in today's modern times, do you think that letter writing, such as is, you know, the whole pivotal point of this show is would suffice in meeting someone as versus being online.
Interesting. Interesting.
And doing the Match.com thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, I don't think I could. Like, I don't think I could fall in love with somebody that I hadn't, like, been in a room with and, like, listened to. I think the thing is, like, and this happens in the show, too, of, like, the way that you present yourself in your writing is often different than the way you are in a room. And that's a point in the show. Like Amalia talks about this George versus that George, like the George of the letters versus the George who's kind of a jerk in real life. And I think, like, I think I would struggle with that in real life. I'd be like, you know, this person is presenting themselves intelligently, I hope, and they're funny in their letters, but, like, maybe they're not that way. Maybe they're going on Google and looking up all these jokes before they write to me. You know? Like,
well, but even at that, they've done some work.
Right.
They're trying to impress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So wouldn't you say that either a telephone conversation would be the next step and or the meeting?
Yeah.
And you will make that judgment call then. You know, I mean,
oh, yeah,
you
I
can
think
all
you,
go away in 30
course,
seconds.
Of course. Yeah, if you've spent any time on Tinder, as if you're a single, like,
oh,
getting somebody to just meet you can be so hard. Like, can we just, like, be in the same room and talk to each other and, like, see if we like each other? And, like, that whole writing process can be really tricky and difficult sometimes.
You sound like you've had the experience.
Right.
You know.
There's nothing wrong with it, for God's sake. I mean, it's the modern thing to do.
Yeah.
So.
It's a lot of work.
It's
very thoroughly modern Millie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
So.
But, you know, conversely, there are so many people that have found their soulmates that way, too. Or at least
yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know. It's and to be doing a show that is, you know, it's a love story that's not trite, I don't think. And so, which is lovely. So you leave... And it's a love story and you feel good, but it's not, you know, slapped and sugar and butter fully, you know, it's not.
I think these are two people who are dealing with real insecurities and it's sort of where they are in their lives with their work and what they are looking for in a relationship. Like it's strangely very fleshed out in that way and feels sturdy. It's a great story. And I think that's why you can walk away from it and go, wow, this was charming. I loved it. And I don't know, there's something else going on in here. Like these are, I just saw some real people going through some stuff.
Well, and you have a director obviously who focuses on stories that are a little bit different than what we might have always known as well. So I think that's an interesting thing too, when you look at how a director views a subject matter and then chooses to point out kind of what's important.
Yeah.
And that changes over the years drastically.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing too, yeah.
Mm. I want to ask a question actually of you. When did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
Mm. He's like, I'm still thinking about it.
I'll let you know when I make the decision. You know, for me, it was really strange. I grew up in the community theater in my hometown doing tons and tons of shows. And, like, college time came around, and I was like, I guess I want to be an engineer? Do I want to, like, whatever? And I was like, no, I want to be an actor. Like, this is me just pretending like that's not the thing I want to do. So I started early. I started at, like, 9 or 10 and was like, yeah, I'm doing this.
And your parents were good with this?
You know, they were always very perplexed by my choice. They were like, why would you do that? You want to not make any money and move all over the country? And I was like, yeah, I do. And they're like, well, we don't get that. But okay. And they've been very supportive.
At least they said okay.
Yeah, like they don't understand at all, but my parents have been so great and so supportive of me.
Wow.
And I'm so grateful for my parents.
And do you live here? Did they live here?
No, they were Central California. It's about 4 hours north, Merced.
Merced?
Yeah. And they'll come down and see the show. I was just talking to my mom. She was trying to figure out when she can come down and see She Loves Me. She came down and saw Violet and loved it. So, yeah.
Did they drive down?
They drive down.
A long drive, right?
Yeah, can be a hike. So
really?
Yeah.
How many hours?
It's about four and a half.
Oh.
So
well, less than going to Las Vegas.
Yes.
Claire said,
indeed.
But it's nice having family and fans that come to our shows.
Absolutely. Your friends? You still have friends up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, every time I get a chance to go home, I meet in with those people, and it's also interesting. The community theater that I grew up in is still there, and I'll drop in, and it's always just really cool and interesting to see shows up there.
You go back to your high school or to the professional theaters?
No, it was a community theater. It was like fully community theater up there that, you know, they were they're still producing like 7 and 8 shows a season. Like,
is there a professional house there at all?
No.
So you didn't have any real exposure to that until you went off to college?
Yeah. Well, we would always Merced is near to San Francisco. It's about 2 hours, so we would often like go, or Sacramento Music Circus, and go up.
Both
and see
great
shows
places
there.
For theater. Yeah,
absolutely. So we would go and see some of those shows there. But yeah, most of it was just sort of this community of artists who nobody was getting paid a living wage to do it.
That's the definition of community of artists.
It was cool. I really appreciated sort of the work ethic and approach that gave me. Like, yeah. I'm here for the stories.
Cool. Yeah. That's a great way to get. How about you, Claire?
What about you?
I started doing theater when I was 4, but actually never did any sort of community theater. I did theater through church growing up, and then in middle school did a little bit, and then in high school when I was in 8th grade I saw a production of Little Shop of Horrors at my high school, and it was we did at my high school one weekend of shows, 4 shows in that weekend, and that was it. And they were almost always double cast, and on this particular show was quadruple cast, so there were 4 different casts of this show. And I actually saw it 3 of the 4 nights because I couldn't get enough and I wanted to see more, and I did theater all through high school, and was kind of trying to decide, do I go into psych, do I go into theater, I don't really know. I saw the tour of In the Heights at the Pantages with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and that show changed my life and is why I'm here. And I was like, I have to do that for the rest of my life. Hands down.
Yeah.
So
that wasn't too long ago.
It wasn't. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but that's
But not too terribly long ago.
So it's always interesting. What about you? I mean, you know, this man here, Claire, and Kevin, is also not only a very good actor.
He's pointing at me.
He's a gentleman.
You were saying nice things. I like that. I'll listen.
He's a wonderful stunt choreographer. Yeah. Stunt fighter choreographer. And for television and film and theater. And then you have your own interests, and he does Shakespeare, and he sings. I have seen him sing.
I sing in character only. Show me the character. Is he a character who can't sing? I can do that. That's me. Nailed it.
A really cool show that he did. I forget the name of it, though.
Shakespeare and the Beatles, I'll bet, is what you're talking about.
Exactly. And they paired the Beatles music with pieces from Shakespeare.
Yeah. No way.
Very fun.
Yeah. And it was so interesting. It was so interesting.
That's so fun.
It was a fun show. Directed by Alan Hunt, who I start my 13th year of Christmas Carol with coming
up
soon.
You said that. You realize that's my high school director.
Alan Hunt. Isn't he wonderful? That's it. He's getting a hashtag. I'm writing it down. Isn't he amazing, man?
I love Alan. Yeah. Yes. No, that was my high school theater teacher.
You have to come do Christmas Carol with us somewhere.
I know.
I've worked with this project for 15 years so overall, good. But 13 years as an actor. And it's such a fun, positive project. And half of that is Alan. The other half is the amazing Cindy Murray from 5-Star Theatricals. That's a great fun
because you do that at the
with.
Civic Arts Plaza,
we
right?
Do, yeah. Every year. Such a fun thing. So you were going to ask about how I got started in that. The answer is desperation. I realized there was nothing else on this planet I was good at. And I was like, well, I love this and I want to go do this. And so I kind of threw myself into theater very early on. I was 11 years old when we moved to a new town. And Mom and Dad said, well, this crazy kid had better do something to spend his energy. And they threw me into Oliver Twist, where I played a couple parts. And from then on, it just kind of became a part of who I was. And I think that's the way it is with people called to the theater is you experience it and that's good, and then you can either move on or it sticks with you. And if it's I think it's a little bit like love too, you know, you meet somebody out in the world and you're like, yeah, nice person, and then they don't leave your head. And I think it's a lot like that with theater or film too.
Well, then you met your wife, who you were both doing a production of Into the Woods.
I was her spotlight operator.
My
favorite story about that is one night the electricity went out on every other part of the stage except the spotlights. That's right.
That's magical.
I screamed out, I've got the... Well, I think that's the only reason she married me. She's like, I owe the guy. Kept me in full spotlight. All right, I'll say yes, you know. But yeah, it's interesting when you look at kind of how theater, you know, theater comes into your life and everything that happens. And generally speaking, if you can invest yourself in telling positive stories that make the world a better place, good things happen. Mm. It's when it becomes kind of strange and selfish and you know, you kind of disappear into a corner that the arts are no longer useful. They're meant to be shared. They're meant to be collaborative. And this film set that I was directing, I was just doing one unit of it, just one day of shooting, but I was shocked at how collaborative it is. Yeah. You know, the lighting was done so beautifully by a woman, Marissa was her first name, and I just kept going, this light is so perfect, it's so easy to paint within this. I thought that was very cool. So yeah.
I love that.
Well, let's give another plug to She Loves Me get into the end of the show.
No doubt.
And it is at the Actors Co-op Theater, a really lovely space, the David Shaw Theater there, and they have a couple of theaters there. Mm-hmm. And don't they also have a large... it's not a recreation room, but it's a large hall that is across the way that sometimes is used for productions. Yes, no, because I saw something in there.
I think you're right. I've seen it as a rehearsal room as well, so I know that they can, you know, at least stage it somehow. Yeah.
It's a very different feel. Yeah. You know, it's not 90, it's beyond 99 seats, I think.
Yeah.
When they do it.
There's a whole lot of stuttering going on around here. Our two official theaters at the moment are the David Shaw and the Crossley Theater, which is the smaller space next door. There are other spaces on campus, and the theater company's been around for more than 27
years.
I know they've been a bunch of spaces on campus. So
good parking, too, right? There's
great parking. It's free.
Honestly,
free
that's
parking.
The best reason to come to co-op.
Well lit.
Well lit free parking.
Well lit free parking. That makes me go see a show.
In Hollywood. In Hollywood.
I know that's unheard of. You're right. Yeah, so it's November 2nd through December 16th.
That's right. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Sundays at 2:30 p.m. with special Saturday matinees, November 10th and November 17th. And lots of information to remember here. But so we're going to give you the address to go to purchase tickets, which are very, very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And it is at actorscoop.org or by calling 323-462-8460. Again, Actors Co-op at the David Shaw Theater, 1760 North Gower Street, right off the freeway. And it's on the campus of the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood in Hollywood.
And the way I know this is a good show, and this is a fact, Michael texted me when he got back and said, oh, what a production I just saw. And if Michael Sterling likes it, then you know it's a great show. So obviously a good piece of theater and a great show to go and feel good when you come home.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to be able to do. So we highly encourage everybody to get out and see this. And there's some other stuff that we're going to mention to you here at the end. We're going to talk a little more about Paradise. But ladies and gentlemen.
And now, embarrassing moments.
The audience is excited today about that.
Really?
My goodness, they're thrilled. They're thrilled. I think it's because they know Kevin's here and he's got something good for us. What you got, Kevin?
I was doing a production of As You Like It in grad school, actually, and we had this great in the round space, big audience. It was like, I mean, for in the round, we were like 150 people, and I'm playing like the imposing older brother who's like a big jerk, and like right at the top of the show, I come in and I'm like, "You get out of here!" And there's this little fight, and I split my pants. Like the waistband all the way down to the knee, and I think I had some like undies on that were like Halloween themed or something that was like so not appropriate.
But you didn't
for the
wear
show.
Period underwear? Unbelievable.
No,
unbelievable. 15th century garb, you know.
And we're in the round, so there's like no way you can position your butt to like not have somebody laugh at you.
You gotta own that, man. Own it.
Yeah, I was just like, no, this is me. Sorry, guys. It was like all the faculty was coming that night, and so I was like, great, I'll see you guys on Monday. You know, I don't know what my undies look like.
No coming back from that, man.
Such good stuff.
Claire, what you got?
Well, I was trying to think of something embarrassing that's happened since I was here last, which luckily, of course, because I live my life, there's plenty to choose from. But I was dancing on stage at the Kirk Douglas. Just, you know, thinking I was very cool. Now, to be clear, I move. I do not describe myself as a dancer. But in this moment, I was, like, really getting into this interpretive dance that I was creating and danced myself off of the edge of the stage and ate it so bad.
No.
And I was, it was
so
funny.
Is there a pit at the Kirk Douglas?
No, there's not, but we had this like two-tiered stage and so I felt.
That's so dangerous too.
It was so bad. And I thought it was just funny, my assistant stage manager did not think it was just funny.
Right.
They never do.
No.
Right.
But
funny when liability
right,
becomes another
yeah,
thing.
But no, but it was great. I had a giant bruise, but I laughed it off, and wow. you know, then wow. and it reminded me why I you know stay humble.
Wow.
Yes, things can happen like that to you.
The name of the show is She Loves Me, and the two stars are here talking with us today, and of course directed by the amazing Kate Kaplan. We'd like to invite you all to get down there and see it as soon as you can. Visit www.actorscoop.org or call 323-462-8460 to get tickets.
And a shout out to all of the rest of your castmates, because mm-hmm. everybody does their job yeah, so well.
Absolutely.
So well.
We'd also like to encourage you to get out and go see Paradise, a divine bluegrass musical comedy. That's a great piece that's up right now.
Right.
It's with the Ruskin Group Theater in association with Kevin and Jarek Frost. I guess it's Productions. I think it's Productions. But either way, go to Performing Arts Live. You can check out that show as well as many, many others. And, of course, as always, our dear friend, Carrie Ann Francis, C.A. Francis Photography.
And then
you can check her out.
On November 25th,
mm-hmm.
you'll come to see An Evening with Claire Adams
yeah.
at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal,
yeah,
which is in the NoHo Arts area of North Hollywood.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And for tickets, you simply go to brownpapertickets.com, punch in Claire's name, and that page will come up. And or the cool thing is that when you call Brown Paper Tickets at 800-838-3006, they are available with the nicest customer service representatives
yeah.
24 hours.
That's a well-run group over there, no
and
doubt.
And if they're based out of Seattle, but they have offices in London and New York, and they are covered. You know, it's a major ticket organization,
yeah.
and it is the least expensive organization on their fees.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do with part of what they make is they donate it to charity.
That's right.
So it's a yeah. great, great company to use. And I've used them for the last several years now.
We hope we provided a bit of a respite from some of the hard things going on. Just a reminder, if you do want to donate blood, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS to support the victims of the borderline disaster just north of us up here in Thousand Oaks as we go up in Sherman Oaks here today. And obviously, if you're feeling like you're in need of help, there's the Ventura County Commission Foundation for Veterans Affairs, the Veterans Crisis Hotline, which you can call at 1-800-273-8255, and we need to do better at supporting our military men and women. But
yes,
more than that, we have a chance to make the world a better place by encountering everyone we meet in a positive and helpful way and be aware that we don't always know what's going on in their lives.
Which is kindness.
That's right. That's right. What a thrill to talk to both of you today.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much
yeah.
for joining
for
us.
Having
really
us.
A great time.
You have a very Amalia blouse on.
Well, we hope you guys will come back again. You have a couple weeks here before your show goes up, so go do something embarrassing that you can remind us for embarrassing moments, okay?
Yeah, will.
Not during She Loves Me, though, of course.
Well, of course.
More than anything, we want to encourage people to get up off their tails, get out there, go see some live theater, have a good time, and enjoy the great place that we live here in Southern California. Michael, where do I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.